It wouldn't hurt me.
It's not my car.
It's not your car.
We were definitely standing room only last time.
Right, should we grab those two chairs and go extend these away?
How's your day going?
I have a mystery.
I just woke up.
At 10, there's also the sketchbook.
Come on in.
Then 18 plus sketchbook slot.
We've got a seat up at the front. If you have an empty seat next to you, raise your hand. If you have an empty seat, raise your hand. Is anybody at the back waiting for a seat?
The hallway is empty, but the dance complex might not be the case.
Well, they can file in.
It's around like 40 minutes ago, I think.
Okay.
But there are a lot of stairs between there and here.
There
are
all the stairs.
But we're getting into that horror story a little early.
There she is!
Welcome, Gail! Welcome to our third panelist! That must be terrible when elevators break down. Yeah, we'll get to that.
That's the worst. Where am I going?
Oh, no.
There's worse than elevators.
There's your elevator story. Elevator broke down.
Alright, welcome everyone to Con Horror Stories. We'll be telling stories about awful things which have happened to us. And we'll be raising money for the charities we have this year, which are Need Service Dogs. Do I have that right?
The Need Service Dogs and the ALS Association. Heck yeah.
I'll put it back.
I have changed.
Please contribute money for our charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the panel, we will do a group selfie. If you don't want your face in the picture, just dab for Gail.
No dabbing. I just want to let you know that I could be doing so much more right now.
You're not.
But here I am.
You are in convention hell.
I am in convention.
So, we should introduce ourselves. Gail, tell everyone who you are.
Well, hi everybody. My name's Gail Frustbane. How you doing, everyone?
Good.
December 2013, where I said, "Wowie zowie, wouldn't it be cool if Boston had a convention?" And then I started this. So that was fun, and here I am today. Thank you for coming, Alcoholic Anonymous.
Hi, Gail.
Tell them who you are.
My name's Matt Lyon. I am a convention runner. I am ex-chairman of Confuzzled in the UK, chairman for 10 years and staff for the past 13. And boy, do we have some stories for you.
Thank you, Matt. My name is Giza. I've been staffing cons for 20 years. I'm not a smart person, and if you think this is water,
own up.
So let's talk about crazy things we find in our lost and found. And whatever that is in metric, Matt, why don't you tell us some of the wacky
things. It's still lost and found.
Is there no E on the end? Are you sure?
Ye olde lost and found.
Oh, God. So what have you guys seen in your lost and found?
Underpants.
Oh.
Under armor. Used.
Okay.
Underpants. Used. We always have at least two driving licenses at the end of the convention. Which you'd think people might need.
Yeah.
One foreign passport. Which someone really needs. And we all, like, go home at the end of the convention.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they're still there.
We go home, and the lost property goes to a storage unit for the next year.
Oh, wow, that's...
Don't leave your stuff behind the packing box.
Yes.
Because you will never see it again.
I'm sorry.
We're not.
You're good, don't worry, I'm a yeller. Alright, so stuff you find in Lost and Found. We've also had underpants, but it was like weird because I was like, I know exactly who those are. Which sounds worse than it is. I just remember seeing the fursuiter that had them on, and then we asked them to remove them, in which they did in the lobby, and they said, can you please hold on to these? But I think they forgot to go get them. We've also had driver's licenses, which for me is like, you need that. I don't know why you would not bring that. We've had entire keychains with car keys and house keys. Which is very perplexing, because I would assume at this point that if you went to a convention and you lost something, that you would try to find it. But I might be too logical when I say that. The weirdest thing, I think, though, was... No, two weird things. One was today. I was in the dealer's den. And I don't know if you know Teddy. She's our awesome dealer's den lead. Super tiny, just like me. She walked up to me and said, could you please put this eye into the lost and found? And it was literally... You know how they... With the 3D eyes, there's the like white mesh with the painted on iris?
Yep.
That. It was just that. And I was like, I would assume if you were fursuiting, you'd be aware that you lost them. And it's still in Lost and Found. I checked on it before Dance Cup. It's still there. But the weirdest thing I think I ever found was, like, three badges of Majira before Majira ever went to a con in Boston. I think that they were badges fans had drawn for him. But all the art was different. And in my headcanon was that three artists drew these badges for him and then got really upset that he wasn't there and just threw them away. So we mailed them to Madeira.
Wow, so at AnthroCon we've had all of those things. Well, not the Madeira badge, that's a new one. Oh my god. We've had, like, claw tips come off of, like, fursuit paws. Let's see, we've had weapons holsters without the weapons. That one was weird. The one year we had fake breasts show up. And you got the story behind that.
We've had them, too.
Same person?
Hopefully not.
So the one we got with ours was that the owner of the fake breasts decide to, how shall we say, challenge a law enforcement officer, and it got a little violent. At one point, that person got yanked one way, and Newton's first law says that, you know, in an object, rest stays at rest, so relatively speaking, the breasts kind of went that way.
They do that.
Things I wish I could forget. I've got a whole list of way more than an hour.
So the best part about the fake breasts that we found in the Lost and Found was, we didn't keep them till the end of the con. They were collected, and the person walking up to our convention operations desk and just going, "Have you got my tits?"
Excuse?
Wow,
your accent's so good.
For being the point. I mean, that's
yeah.
Just...
Oh, and they were not quiet about it. Like, that volume, it was just, "Have you got my tits?"
No, no, you're going to say something like that, go for gold.
No, oh, yeah. Don't be subtle, right?
So I'm saying I have a whole list of these things, so if you hear some repeat stories, understand that, like, all this shit didn't happen to us in the last 12 months. If it did, we'd be criminally insane.
I am.
What else can we talk about?
So much.
We can talk about cops. We can talk about hot tubs.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Well, let's combine hot tubs and swimming pools.
I mean, if you have, like, sodium, you could make that happen. You know, throw some sodium in a swimming pool. Don't do that. Tell us about swimming pools, man.
Fursuiters in swimming pools.
What?
Okay.
How?
My choice?
Yes. So, firstly, to state, not my con this happened at, but I was a witness to it, so it counts. A bunch of fursuiters. So, to back up a little bit, you've presumably, I hope, all read the code of conduct for A&E, right? That says, here is the whole list of things that you mustn't do. And you read through it and you go, why is that on the list? Yeah. On most European conventions' code of conduct, since about 10 years ago, there is a line that says, fursuits must not be worn in the swimming pool. A line that most people wouldn't think is needed to be added. Yet, a group of maybe 8 to 10 fursuiters thought, we should go to the pool in our fursuits and do a whirlpool. So, well, firstly, fursuits get pretty heavy when they're wet.
Yeah.
And they shed when they're wet.
Yeah.
And they did a whirlpool, so most of the water left the pool.
We burned it.
The pool was upstairs.
That was a mistake on the hotel's part.
Maybe, but the water left the pool, it went across the edge and down the gap between the floor and the wall.
Did you get it yet?
Yeah, I already did.
Got it?
Yeah.
And appeared in the panel rooms below.
And this is why cons carry liability.
Nice!
Shirts.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
And the amount of shed fur caused the pump filter motor to burn out. So not only did they flood a panel room, they broke the swimming pool.
Good God.
That's so bad.
So, sorry?
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is exactly why we cannot have nice things. I mean, okay, fursuits in swimming pools is probably never needed, but when you read the code of conduct of a convention and a new line appears and you read it and you think, why is that there? That's why that's there. Someone did it.
That's not an isolated incident. We haven't put an Amphicon's code of conduct 1 year. Please do not bring a bazooka to the con. Because someone did that. And when we confront him, he said, it doesn't say you can't bring a bazooka, it just says guns and knives.
Oh!
It wasn't wrong!
Ah, rules lawyers.
Yeah.
So, by the way, this panel rambles somewhat, so we may start on one topic and end on another. How it is.
If you run cons, you will think rambling thoughts. I mean, this is normal when you run cons. It will do things to you.
Yeah, your thoughts suddenly just become rambles forever.
Especially if you have a radio and you got that voice in your ear.
I hate the radio.
Radio calls are always fun.
Yeah, I don't like those.
Out of context radio calls. I got one. The cops are here. It's the riot police. They have shotguns and shields. And then I hear another voice. Oh, that's an improvement over last year. Prior year was a similar radio call, but it was, they have latex gloves and sample kits.
Oh.
And
Any radio call stories?
Radio call stories. Well, I remember there was this one time at A&E Redacted where someone on the staff, no longer on the staff, decided to say on the radio, do you guys understand that radios, you typically say very little on the radio, or something vague, something to the point of security, could you please report to blah, or could I please see blah 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 in blah blah blah? Well, that's because sometimes dumb people decide that they should just say everything on the radio. And sometimes, for certain circumstances, you might not have an earpiece in, or perhaps there's a room where, you know, a radio is just put into a charger and that becomes open to everyone.
And let us not forget, those radio messages leave the building.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you can pick them up.
Anyone can have a scanner and just listen,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I see where this is going.
Yeah. So when we got a radio call in of, this is Redacted, and I'm having a problem right now. I've got somebody here, and they're very naked. It's a problem. I think they're humping a fursuiter. This is not great. What should we do about this? It's kind of hot, though. I don't care how goddamn hot it is. It's the radio. You can only imagine how well that went over, considering it was 5 p.m.
Somewhere,
I missed that, yeah.
You did.
Me too. That's why, conversely, if you ever hear a radio call to like the con chair, you just hear like, there is a package here for you. That means shit is going down. That is universal for shit is happening right now.
Yeah, that would have been the better message.
What, there's a package for Basil?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been funny and accurate. What about you, Matt?
Hi.
Hi.
Con Ops.
Hi.
There's poo coming from the ceiling. Silence. So I'm elsewhere in the epithet. Okay. Hi, this is Con Ops. How much poo?
Is that in Cromwell?
Oh, wow. They're not wrong.
At that point, it's like, Collops seem to have this. I don't need to know anymore. I'm just going to them to deal with that problem.
I'm thinking another cool story. The very first furry connection north back in 2008 or so, it was one of those atrium hotels. Rooms are on the outside, pools in the middle. Yep. And the chair got a complaint. It was relayed by the hotel manager. The hotel manager said, look, we got a complaint from a guy who said he saw two guys hugging in the swimming pool and he didn't feel his 12-year-old son should have to see that. Mm. And the chairman's response was, oh, that's interesting. I'll be sure to mention that to my boyfriend.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see, so we covered swimming pools.
I have a quick swim team from our...
What?
Yeah. There was an Anthro New England at the old hotel that we hosted at the same time as a swim team that was staying there for like a collegiate or a high school competition. Turns out the coach was incredibly homophobic. Saw a couple dudes kissing on dudes, girls kissing on girls, thems kissing on thems, and walked up to the front desk and said, I don't like this. And the front desk person said, My wife doesn't either, and she was real mad about it, and they were immediately banned from that hotel for the rest of eternity. We pick our hotels well.
Oh, God. Calls from hotels are always fun when a hotel calls you to something, and your internal monologue is going, oh, shit, how is this even happening? I think it was like an AC 2006. It was our first year in the Westin. We're trying to build a really good relationship with them because new hotel, new host city. And we get a call in con ops from our convention services person. And she goes, did you order any industrial gases? No. There's a guy with a 5-foot tank of helium in the lobby that we caught trying to take it to his room. Send him away. He's not with us.
Little did you know he probably was.
Oh, I'm sure he was. I'm sure.
There was liquid nitrogen to be given ice cream.
Yeah. I'm sorry, if liquid helium explodes, I mean, she's going to go up.
Yeah, that's such a plus sign.
Very.
Less of a minus.
That's less of a minus, that's true. That's true. I don't know where we want to bring this, but I'm telling you
just
right now,
we
have finally reached a point where I feel like I can tell the ultimate A&E horror story because it was at the first convention, and I feel like we're far enough away from that one.
Yeah. So for the record, typically we have a 2-year moratorium on horror stories, just so to protect the guilty. I think you're good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been waiting a long time for this one because I really don't give a shit about the guilty. When was the first A&E? It was in 2015. Yes. So I've been keeping this one, specifically one, because I wanted to tell it at an A&E con horror stories panel, but also because it is wild. And direct a movie about it. Before I start that, if you have a seat that's open next to you, could you raise your hand? Because we do have some friends standing in the back. So just so you're aware, you don't have to. If you're comfy up there, you're welcome to stay. But I know my voice is only going to carry so much because I've already yelled quite a bit at this convention. So, yeah. The first A&E. We had a small staff, and by small staff, I mean I would say we had under 20 staff in total. Many of us were wearing many, 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 many hats. The only person that wasn't wearing many hats was our security director, but our security director was one of two security for the entire convention, because honestly, when you start a convention, there's a point where you say, I give up, but we didn't. So, I will start this story by saying that 80% of the complaints for security at A&E 2015 revolved around one person!
I'm sorry!
One!
Out of a cast of two.
One person. So this one person was from Canada. And it surprises me, because every other Canadian furry that I have met, all the other Canadian furries I have met are the nicest people on the planet. So I have come to the theory that this is the worst person in Canada. Canada took all of their bad, which is not much, but they took all of it and put it into one person. And this one person was like, I'm coming to A&E. So this one person happened to room with a good friend of mine. And I knew it was going to be a problem when the good friend of mine said, hey, I'm rooming with this person, and they are batshit insane. And I said, they can't possibly be that bad.
They're Canadian.
Yeah, I'm worried. So wrong. So this individual, I don't know if you guys know this, A&E has always been kind of kid-friendly, because we just got a shit ton of kids to come to this con. I think that's just because we're in New England. It's really easy to get around. So, this individual decided to just, in the old hotel, if you remember the old hotel, we used to set up some tables around the lobby and the hallway section outside of the dealer's den and the main ballroom. This individual decided to post up there with a little sign and the sign just had a fully, like, a majorly erect fucking wolf just showing up his gift to the world, and he was just like, I'm drawing porn! And he was just drawing porn. He was trying to sell the porn. This man was not registered with Anthro New England at all to sell anything! So we spoke to him, and we said, you cannot do that. Please stop. He stopped for 2 hours. He then went back. Another complaint came in. By the time security arrived on site, he was gone. So at this point, he had been wearing a hat and one of those cool, like, animal masks with the mouth. I don't know if you guys remember Kitty Loves Monster, but it was one of the band animals. So we didn't have a good description of the individual. So I don't know. Do you guys know my buddy Camillix? Cam? Yes. He does some sick DJ sets. So yeah, he's DJing tonight. Well, he was DJing at that A&E, let me tell you that, because he's freaking phenomenal. But, my name is Molly. My real name is Molly. So this person walks into the dance on Friday night and says, hey, walks up to the DJ, just tapping the DJ. He's never met Cam in his life, and he says, hey, you got any, do you know where I can find Molly? Do you know where I can find Molly? And Cam says, Molly, huh? I bet she's in ConOps. Otherwise, she's probably coming in here, because I've never missed any of Cam's sets ever. I've never missed a Cam set. And so he texts me. He says, hey, I got someone in the DJ or in the ballroom. They're looking for you. I said, okay, I'll be over there in a second. So I run over there, and, you know, I'm looking around. I go on the stage, and I'm dancing, and I lean over, I'm like, Cam, where's the person? And he was like, oh, well, he didn't mean you, he meant the drug. And
like, oh, yeah, right.
I don't know where he went, and I'm like, okay, can you describe the person? And he was like, I don't know, average height, wearing a hat and a bandanimal, and I'm like, that's all I need. I run out there, and I'm finding my security lead. My security lead, he's a big dude, and he's an older dude, and my other security person, he's an ex-police officer, and I'm like, find him! And then my buddy texts me, but literally, I'm talking to my two security people. My buddy texts me, and my buddy's like, we got a problem, and I'm like, what's the problem, buddy? And he's like, this kid just came up to our room, and he's rampaging, he's screaming about, where's Molly? Where can I find Molly? And he's going psycho, and he just came out of nowhere, and he just put on somebody's fursuit that was in the room, and we don't know what to do, and I just took it off him, and he literally just grabbed my friend's tits and ran out of the room, and I said, what did he look like? He said, he's an average height male with a hat and a bandana, and I said, what's your room number? And we ran up to that room, and we couldn't find him. Go back to Camillix's set. And he goes back up on stage and he says,
where's the Molly?
Where's the Molly? And I'm like, what's wrong with you? At that point, we finally apprehended the dude and we said, no, you're done. You need to take your drunk ass home. Your badge is done. You're done. Get the heck out of here. Are you kidding me? He disappeared. We take his badge. We write down his name. We've got all his information. He disappears. And I'm like, what the heck? And at this point, it's Friday night. No. I'm like, are you kidding me? Saturday, I didn't sleep Friday night. I get up at the crack of dawn. My buddy Dommy's downstairs. I say, hey, meet me in ConOps. I need to talk to a friend right now. I'm feeling stressed. It is 7 in the morning. No. 7 in the morning. I go downstairs to ConOps. I'm hanging out with my friend Dommy. We're just having a good time. Registration opened up at 8 a.m. Registration opens. We open the doors. At this point, I had High School Musical soundtrack on the radio because I just needed some happy times. Sometimes you just need to listen to High School Musical on the soundtrack. And in he walks, brazenly.
Where the hell?
That same hat, but not the bandana. And he walks in, and he walks up to me. Me, who took the badge off of his body. And he looks me in the eyes. And he looks my security guy in the eye. And he says, I lost my badge last night. It doesn't end there.
my friend, who is security, who is ex-military, is immediately dialing the Cambridge police. And the Cambridge police, God bless their souls, come instantaneously. But we did not realize what this Canadian was very fast. And so, suddenly at 8:30 in the morning, there is an angry hat wearing Canadian running through the hallways as me, out of shape, the security team out of shape, and the Cambridge police, who are in out of shape, all chasing this person. At this point, the hotel is well aware of what is going on, and the hotel is chasing them. And she said, okay. And she chased them too. Suddenly there are 12 people chasing this Canadian.
So,
and out of nowhere arrives the largest man I have ever seen on the Cambridge police force. And he apprehends this individual. And he grabs him by the shoulder. And he says, you're done.
Saturday night, and he had a bit to drink to the point where he really couldn't even stand. And the cops were involved, and they're like, let's get you back to your room. Do you have any roommates? And he's like, And the cop says, well, why don't you call one of your roommates and help take you back to your room? Because the cop didn't want to take him back to his room, and I can't blame him. So the kid drunkenly just like stabs numbers on his phone. And he's trying to talk, and his speech is horribly slurred, so he hands the phone to the cop, and the cop says, hello? And he speaks for a minute. Turns out the kid had drunk dialed his mom. Thought it was funny too. So, what are cops like in the UK? Do they have guns yet?
No.
Bobby sticks.
They have a hitting stick, that's about it. Yep. Oh, no, that's not true. They do have a taser in a lockbox in the police car that they have to phone up to get the number to open. The armed police in London are a bit different, like the Royal Protection and that lot are a bit different, but your common or garden average police officer might have access to a taser. So, they're kind of chill, really. But they're also in ridiculous physical condition, so they will run you down. You wouldn't need the really big dude.
I think Cambridge and London should do an exchange program.
Physical fitness exchange.
That would be awesome. Well, super fit cops without guns in Cambridge and cops with guns in the UK. Never knew what hit them.
Yeah, literally.
Different. But in a slight segue, let's talk about noise complaints.
Oh, here we go.
Geese has heard this one. So, this kind of combines radio calls, cops, and noise complaints. So, it's 11:30, nearly midnight. Huh. There are cops at the front desk of the hotel, and they'd really like to speak to who's in charge of this event. I guess that's me. Okay, cool. Let's go down and talk to the cops. Hello, what appears to be the problem? We've got a noise complaint. Okay, the hotel has nothing around it for 50 feet, and the only noise in the building is in the nightclub, which is a purpose-built nightclub in a basement. Where is this noise complaint coming from? Okay, we say, come with us. We'll take you around. We walk around the building. Can't hear anything outside. And the cops are like, we've got like 10 phone calls from people who live nearby. They say it's really loud. There's this horrible party. Can you hear anything? Well, no. So you must have turned it down. No, no, I promise you we haven't turned it down. Let's go inside. We go into like... Okay, you didn't turn it down. It's loud. Let's go back outside. So, well, let's go and speak to the people, you know, and you can explain to them what's going on. Okay, fine. There's an apartment block maybe 50 feet from the building. Okay. Walk around. Open the door. We walk into the bottom of the stairwell, this apartment block. That definitely sounds like our nightclub, which is 100 feet that way and 20 feet down. Can anyone explain this one? We find out that the hotel and the apartment block are built on the same concrete foundation slab. And this explains why the nightclub was closed down 2 years previously. The hotel had changed management and no one could remember why. And they're like, well, it probably didn't make any money, they said. No, the council shut it down because no one could sleep. So that's fun.
Dang.
Yeah.
Noise complaint. You got a noise complaint? I'm trying to think of a good... Well, I got a good noise complaint, but I'm waiting for DMs because it happened 20 minutes ago.
Oh.
It's funny. It's very funny.
Do we have to wait for the moratorium for that one?
No, because I'll just keep it super redacted and the person that it involved... Oh, I got the DMs.
Okay, so authorized release.
Yes, authorized release by the person whose room it was. All names will be redacted. An individual had, just privately reported to Anthro New England, hey, I'm on one of the loud floors and my party just got shut down.
Okay.
This was during dance competition. Dance competition runs from 6 to 8, so that's not supposed to happen. So, obviously, the A&E Twitter and DMs said, oh my God, we are so sorry. Could you say what room this is? So what happened was it turned out that somebody who's been training here at the hotel for security, this was their first night on duty. They had been told about this, but in all of the stuff they had learned in the last week, they had forgotten. It was an honest mistake. Very simple. So, very simply, the hotel went back up, said, we are so sorry. Like, you know, that was a mistake. You guys are fine. But the DM conversation... is so good. Because the person from the A&E Twitter said, don't worry, we're on it. The individual said, yeah, we know, could be partially our bad if we were too loud, we really apologize, but we thought that the quiet hours were at a certain time. A&E Twitter, I talked to security. Unfortunately, it was a hotel trainee. Story I just told. I'm so sorry this happened to you. You guys can resume your party. A&E Twitter, in the DMs, all caps, wait! Your room is right under mine! This is redacted. Were you guys singing No Scrubs super loudly? Person whose room it was. 1 minute later, XD face. Follow-up conversation. A&E Twitter. Flamow! But yeah, don't worry. They're going to make sure things are okay. God, I love that song. Do you guys sing that song often in your shower? Individual that it affected. Okay, don't worry. We already left the room to go to another party. Oh my God, I love singing that song so much. No scrubs, am I right? Also, this does play into the theme of the Prohibition era of the Roaring Twenties really well. Super on brand, guys. A&E Twitter. Lol, so true. Sorry for all that, but I believe you're good if you want to party more. Within reason, until whatever the late night time limit is, I don't heckin' know. Let's sing some more scrubs together sometime. person involved. All good. Sorry for the salty tweet. Anyways, yeah, let's make that party happen soon, since we live 20 minutes from each other. So I thought that was a particularly good one.
And I know the two people exchanging that
conversation. Yep. I made it so much better, and I think you do too.
What should we talk about next? We talk about cops some more. We talk about venues.
Does the audience have any particular things they want to hear from us?
Well, regarding noise complaints, hotel has two floors set aside for parties.
Yeah.
Perfect. Except the hotel got an influx of air crew and stewardesses, and they put them on the party floors instead of the quiet floors. And we're getting noise complaints from 6 p.m. until like 9 p.m. And it's kind of like, parties are supposed to go from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. on these two floors.
We're aware. The good news is the hotel's on our side. The better news is a bunch of those people from those airlines are going to the parties. So.
That sounds safe.
Yeah, it's totally fine. They're not going to be furries tomorrow or anything.
I'm for the people on their next flights.
Oh! Fuck them! Oh.
Okay, I'm probably home tomorrow.
I don't think you fly that airline.
No, I don't.
Not anymore.
Audience members.
Hey, Giza, I know you've heard this story, but you know Free John?
Dixie
told it MFF.
I can't talk about that. I can't talk.
You brought up redacted story.
Yes. There are some things we cannot talk about. So sometimes it involves law enforcement.
Yeah, sometimes
I can tell that story.
It's also not. It is improper for us to relay stories from other conventions that we were not personally witness to.
Yeah, there's some things we just can't talk about.
No matter how much we would love to tell you about.
Sometimes there's criminal cases in progress, and we don't want to talk about them.
Oh no, I really want to talk.
Story to tell, go for it.
Oh no, I mean, he needs a therapist.
Oh jeez. All right, what else can we talk about?
I don't know.
Hold
the audience. Unless we do a talk. You think of some things, Giza.
Oh, no, think hell no.
Okay,
he's
a good one. Okay.
When I was in LA,
MFF, who has been to Midwest Fur Fest recently in the hotel?
Oh, I've been.
So they got the main floor where check-in is. It's like this elevated floor. They got some glass panels. The glass panels are nice and thick. You can stand on them. You can jump on them. No problem. The glass holds up quite well. Turns out there is one thing that will break those glass panels. A frozen turkey lobbed from the 10th floor. I think it was Anime Central one year. Some anime fans decided it'd be a great idea to just buy a frozen turkey and.
I was gonna say, Giza, I have questions.
It wasn't Thanksgiving. I just can't put the parts of that story together. Like, frozen turkey bring you a hotel. I can't even.
I got nothing.
For what reason? I cannot come up with a reason.
So what you're saying is the glass is not first strike rated.
I think that requires a charity bucket penalty.
Hand me a charity bucket. Oh, is it still going around?
It's good and heavy.
I counted the money before. I counted the money before, more and then people put more money in. So the old number was $115.
So, Gail, Giza, have you wonderful people...
Wait
for Giza.
What was that?
Maybe going to the day.
Oh, wait for Giza.
Do you have a particular question?
So, Giza,
yes.
Gail, have you fine convention runners ever had supplier problems?
I hate.
Yes.
Yes, have we? So, there have been a number of times when, in the run-up to the convention, usually about 10 days before we arrive at the hotel, my phone rings. Hello. This is vendor of whatever sponsor thing we're giving out this year. So there's a problem with production. Okay. This is a you problem, not a me problem, but continue. Yeah, it's not going to be ready on time. Okay, so we ordered this 3 months ago. It has a lead time of 1 month. And it's not going to be ready in time. Whose fault is that? Because I don't think it's mine. And they're like, yeah, it's just not going to be ready. We can give you a refund. Well, that's not really what we promised our attendees. So, can we have? And this is where it varies a little bit by year. So the first time this happened was we'd ordered little... So we have a convention mascot, it's Badger. We'd ordered little Brock the Badger plushies. We're going to give every sponsor a little plush badger. And they're like, so they're stuck in customs in Stansted, so which is one of the big airports near London. That's about 100 miles from our convention hotel. I'm like, okay, this is okay, fine. Will they be released in time for the convention? Well, we think so. I'm not convinced by this. But, okay, fine. Is there anything we can do to make it go faster? No, we're expediting it as much as we possibly can. We'll tell you when they're shipped. Every day I'm on the phone to them. Have you shipped them yet? Are they shipped yet? Are they shipped yet? Are they shipped yet? They're still in customs. Our opening ceremony is at 7 p.m. on a Friday. Registration is obviously open all day Friday prior to that for people to come and collect their stuff. I phone them up on Thursday evening. Have they shipped yet? Well, they're showing us cleared customs. Okay. Does that mean you have put the box on a truck? Well, that's not clear to us. Do you mean it's not clear to us? You are a shipping company. Does the status mean you have shipped it or you have not shipped it? Well, it's not clear to us. Okay, I have problems with this. Please tell me they're going to be here by tomorrow at 10 a.m. So, obviously, this person on the end of the phone was, you know, very customer-focused, tell the customer what they need to hear. They told me they will be there by 10 a.m. tomorrow. They did what I asked. This was not true. On the phone again, where are they? Well, they're still showing us having cleared customs. Well, yes, that's great. Have they left the airport? They have not left the airport. Now, our convention is held on a holiday weekend. So the airport customs office is closed Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and everyone goes home on Tuesday. So if it is not shipped before Friday, they are not arriving until, at the earliest, Tuesday. So one of our poor staff gets into my car and drives all the way to the airport to pick up this box of plush badges. Drives all the way back. Takes them 6 hours to do a round trip. Because traffic is a thing. What else have we had? We thought, oh, here's a great thing. We'll give everyone a nice artwork printed, like highball glass, right? Nice, great. Supplier phones us up a few days before the con. Got a problem making the glasses. Right, okay, so what's that? Well, the art didn't take. What do you mean the art didn't take? Well, something went wrong during the process and it just wipes off the glass. Well, that's it. So you ordered 350. We had 600 blank glasses in stock. We can send you the 125 that worked. That doesn't help.
Creates artificial scarcity.
Like, I believe that was the year you suddenly transitioned to water bottles.
All of a sudden, we're like, okay, what can you get us 350 of printed properly in 2 days? You can do aluminium water bottles, we'll take them.
Hey, Matt, can you say that word again of what the water bottles were made of?
Yeah, aluminium.
I love British people!
How many E's were on the end of that?
None.
I don't believe you.
I don't believe you either.
We are at 9 up, so we should wrap this up very shortly. We do one more story each if we wanted to, very quickly.
Big bump. Big think. Big
Think.
Come up with a good one.
I've got one I'll tell. Okay, so good. Wearing a pin with a stick of butter and the word situation on it.
That's a really odd thing to wear. There's a story behind it. Some NFFs ago, when you check into the room, you get that stupid little hotel room stationery that nobody uses. Well, MFF got a call from the hotel after the day after the con, and someone used it. So that was a story in and of itself.
Someone used what?
The hotel stationery, you know, like Weston postcard size stationery that comes to your hotel room that has no purpose. Someone wrote a long rant on several sheets of hotel stationery with that stupid little pen, and they left it for the housekeepers. And the rant was about the placement of butter in the breakfast buffet. The placement of butter in the breakfast buffet is very important. The butter has to be near the pancakes, because pancakes are hot, heat melts butter. So you can't just have butter on your plate, it's not going to melt. You have to have the butter next to the pancakes so it melts properly. You should preferably have it after the pancakes, not before the pancakes, because before the pancakes, then you have butter on the plate, and the butter doesn't go fully into the pancakes. You have to have the butter after the pancakes, so you can slip the butter between the hot pancakes, and it will melt properly. And when are you going to address this butter situation? Many, many pages of hotel stationery. They sent that to the MFF in its entirety. And next up, we had 1,000 of these pins. There are various versions of these pins with like blood splattered across the sticky part. I don't know what that's about.
I need one.
Let's see what I can do.
That's probably my favorite con's staff story is the butter situation, because it's so fucking stupid. God, I hope there's no kids in here. Anyways, if you are, I don't love it. So, this is a convention horror story in the way that it, like, starts as a horror story. Does it end as a horror story? We'll see. Alright. You know what's actually terrifying? Starting a convention.
Oh.
Do you know why it's terrifying? Because your normal human self has to show up to a bunch of hotels and say, "Hello, I like to dress up like a dog, and I would like to come here with my 1,000 friends who dress up like dogs and cats and bunnies and shit, and sometimes they get off to it." I just would like this space.
But we will buy a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. So that's really stressful. So when we were planning A&A, we had started planning in December of 2013, but we'd said to ourselves, we're going to take the entire year of 2014 to find a hotel and start and like have the first one in 2015. We had 7 hotels as possible hotels for the first A&A. Some were in Boston proper, some were in Cambridge, some were, you know, just outside of Boston, if you live around here on the, like, I-95 corridor. So we're exploring all of these possible options, dressing up real good and shit. Jordan and James were in these nice, you know, suits. Myself in a nice kind of, like, business woman. I'm here to be alpha and shit and say I just want to be gay.
Did you have shoulder pads?
What?
Did you have shoulder pads?
I did not have shoulder pads. I didn't want to be like too alpha that they were like, "Oh, I'm scared." So, you know, we go to multiple hotels and stuff. And the last hotel on our list was the Hyatt in Cambridge. Because we had seen it and we said, "We're not going to be able to afford that. It's a Hyatt. And
that's too classy for furries.
It's too nice. It's right next to MIT, Harvard. We can't fucking afford that. Are you kidding me?" So we get dressed up. We go in. We give them the same old spiel. I had the same videos queued up on YouTube that I've had queued up for all of them, being like, "Look at this nice, wholesome stuff. Every now and then there's a sexual thing. Actually, it's a lot." And so we go in there. We give them the same spiel. I look them dead in the eyes with a cute puppy dog. I'm definitely sweet. I say, hey, so here's all this stuff that we do. We raise money for charity. Also, a lot of people are like, off on it. And they look me dead in the eyes. And they say, okay, I mean, we host a bunch of burlesque shit, and most of our fucking employees are gay, so we're fucking here for it. Said, I have something really important to talk to you about. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And she looked at me and she held out her hand and she said, would you go on a date with me to the furry wedding? And I was like,
I can. So, you know, I said the deal you make with your hotels is you promise that everyone will drink a shit ton of alcohol.
Yeah.
Well, we made that promise to our first venue, which was a youth hostel. Now youth hostels don't have that much alcohol in stock. But they were like, no worries, we heard you drink a lot, you told us you drink a lot, we'll buy an extra stock. They did, they bought in extra stock, we saw the stock room, it was full. It was all gone after the first night. So they're like, holy shit. Second morning, off they go, down the wholesalers, fill up their little van, you know, wheels down to the ground. Come back, fill up the stock room again, all gone the next morning. So they're like, uh-oh. Right, go back down the wholesalers, fill it up, come back, they go, there is no, that they don't have any more. So the van's like half full this time, they're like, that's... This is Saturday. We finish Tuesday.
Oh!
So then they're like, right, well, we'll start with that, and Dave's going to the supermarket with the van. We drank all the alcohol, and all the alcohol at the wholesaler, and a large quantity from the local supermarket. They invited us back very quickly the following year. I am spent.
All right, it is almost that time. Let's do this dumb group selfie and double on your face.
Dab. Or turn away, or all sit right. On the floor.
Do we stand?
Well, okay, we're taking a group photo. It's not Death Working Hard. It's just get together. Get together. You gotta look at that. Okay, everybody look at the camera. It's not that hard. Yeah.
All right, I got like 20 photos.
Okay.
Thank you all for coming. All right. Yeah, you guys are great. Thank you guys for coming.